Amidst the chaos caused by Team Neo Rocket Galactic's attack in Mos Deep City, it appears that the super ancient water-type legendary Pokemon Kyogre has been agitated and awoken from a 15-year slumber, once again threatening to drown all of Hoenn if left unchecked. With the party separated at greater physical distances than ever before, how will the Quacko Packo save Hoenn, or perhaps even the world? A truly apocalyptic calamity has begun to befall Hoenn. In Mos Deep City, the Quacko Packo accelerated a sinister mission derived by Neo Rocket Galactic to the best of their knowledge, blow up the moon. The scientific shuttle stolen from the Mos Deep Space Center seemingly launched successfully about a half day ahead of schedule, however sustained heavy Cindy-related damage during the squabble preceding the launch, causing one rocket booster to explode before delivering its entire fuel load. Shortly following the launch, an abruptly awoken super ancient legendary Pokemon said to have created the planet Seas, Kyogre, emerged from within Shoal Cave, several miles north of the island city of Mos Deep. Kyogre's powers, seemingly stimulated, brought forth an incredible storm that quickly threatened to drown Mos Deep and eventually all of Hoenn and perhaps the entire planet, causing Energy's forces to hastily abandon their invasion. Because a similar calamitous event occurred 15 years ago in Hoenn, the psychically proficient Mos Deep gym leaders Tate and Liza initiated a telekine dome from a new piece of technology within the safety of the city's gym, a massive pink bubble that is temporarily protecting the beloved island town from the effects of Kyogre's rampage. Our heroes Gimli and Cindy took the oath to protect the twin gym leaders should their focus become interrupted and the telekine dome may fail. Trevor the Gigalith and Lasagna the psychically inclined Krustle are holding guard, while Cindy and Gimli convene with allies Maxi, Stephen Stone, Duford Police, Delaney and Brandon, Tiberius Matthias Ferrishart, Gimli Lodestone, and Elodie's estranged Iron Valiant Keylime. Elodie's whereabouts are not fully understood to the rest of the Packo. Schmidt and the titular Quacko the Farfetch'd have engaged the Leviathan out in the sea, in the heart of the raging storm it has created. Hurricane-like conditions accompany torrential downpours, rapidly rising sea levels, and non-stop lightning strikes around this arcanely enhanced super-ancient legendary Pokemon. Maxi's partner Archie, the former leader of a villainous team hell-bent on utilizing Kyogre's powers to expand the sea and control the world, has also entered the fray with his team of powerful water-type Pokemon. While soaring above and around the belligerent Kyogre, Schmidt identified two things of note. That Kyogre was in fact interfacing with a plate at the base of its tail protected by a mystic bubble of water, and that the telekine dome surrounding Mos Deep has essentially become fully submerged, however still visible from above the water. It is about 2 a.m. and Schmidt is falling into the ocean after a failed attempt to wrest the plate from Kyogre's tail. Schmidt, please make a deck save in order to make a safe landing. Tentacruel is going to be assisting, is going to try and catch you.
Oh, cool. That is a 16.
Okay. Tentacruel rolled similarly successfully, so you'll careen about 30 or 40 feet down into the raging sea as Tentacruel bounds up from the water, and Schmidt, you land comfortably on its jelly-like head. You bounce a little bit, and your clothes at this point are just, like, fully soaked. I'm imagining that you're, like, either holding Quacko or Quacko descended with you. Do you headcanon that as well?
Yeah, Quacko's just kind of, like, flying next to him.
Okay. This might be a good a time as any just to kind of check in on, like, the HP status of Schmidt and the gang. How are they doing?
I don't think Quacko has taken any damage. Schmidt's doing all right. Oh, Quacko's actually really low.
I thought he had taken some damage, yeah.
Yeah. Quacko's in, I don't think he's quite in red yet, but he's very close. He's, like, at the bottom end of yellow.
Yeah. The environmental effects that Kyogre is creating, not to mention its own attacks, are just kind of constantly subjecting Schmidt and his team and Archie and his team just to damage just all the time. Who else does Schmidt have out?
It's just Mewtwo. Just Quacko and
just
Mewtwo.
Quacko and Mewtwo, great. Yeah. Okay. Archie is here, and he's doing shit, but he's not necessarily coordinated with Schmidt. I'd like to give Schmidt just like a full initiative turn to figure out like what he wants to do, what he's up to, what his plan is.
Schmidt is going to, he's going to have like a Jimmy Neutron brain blast moment. And he's going to be like, oh, they meant summon Rayquaza. So he is going to pull out his Keeper Gem.
Okay.
And he is going to say, through sacred rite in thy great sight, my life as well I offer. I summon thee to aid this fight and save us from disaster. Realize them upon this world, for I do summon thee, Rayquaza.
Very fun. I like how you are referencing canon stuff. Schmidt may not have remembered, but the scroll that actually contains like the the manual to summoning Rayquaza. Actually, just has like the last part of that. It's not the whole thing, but it'd be cool if Schmidt said the whole thing. Yeah, roll me a charisma check, please.
Charisma.
Can you riz up Rayquaza?
Oh shit!
Risen up Rayquaza. Oh no! I gotta make it.
Oh my fucking god! I got a natural one.
With
no bitches.
Schmidt calls upon the birthright of his ancestors to summon the beast that no one else has the capability of summoning, and yet it seems to fall upon deaf ears. No one seems to particularly notice. With this role, Schmidt gets the sense that even if he had delivered it better, something is missing from the equation, and I will refund this action to you because it simply will not work.
Awesome.
But no detriment. I'm giving you another action, so you can keep doing stuff.
I don't know what's missing from the equation.
Groudon!
Can I roll them? See what's missing from the equation?
You can use an action to roll like an intelligence check. That's either history, and I'll give you advantage on it, actually.
Oh.
Where's my boy Groudon, dude?
Dirty 25.
The Draconids are very traditional and ritualistic in many ways throughout their culture. But particularly in these kind of more divine rites, it seems that location is something to bear in mind when conducting this, and that this won't necessarily work just anywhere at any time.
Okay. Well, I think we're fucked.
Maybe.
I think we just die.
You have an additional action, as well as bonus actions.
Dog, I don't know what the fuck to do. Can I pull the chat?
Sure. After you take your turn, it's going to go to them. So, but you can
chat,
pull. You can
thinking?
Pull above table if you want. Yeah.
You have to go to the pointy the sky guy.
Lead the party. Go to sky guy. Go see him.
I'm so sorry. What is it called? The sky pillar.
Sky pillar. Yeah. That's a long fucking ways away.
How far is it?
Elodie has the map, so you guys will never know how far away it is.
It's like the other side of the continent, yeah. Like halfway. It's probably about equal distance from here to the berry farm.
Shit. You can fly fast, right? Oh, wait, you have a teleport!
I don't know if it can teleport that far. Do I know if it can teleport that far?
I gave you a range. It was a three-digit number of feet.
Oh. Unless
I didn't save it.
It
fuck.
Could possibly impose like a bouts of exhaustion ish. I don't know.
It has been conducted pretty recently, the Mewtwo's miracle power.
Yeah.
I'm willing to, you know, I want you guys to be able to do the things that you want to do. I won't say no to it, but it would be quite demanding and may not succeed. Schmidt, free perception check, please.
Free perception check. I like free. That is an 8.
Okay.
Can't roll for shit tonight.
That's fine. Based on your 8, you can, as you're kind of contemplating, like, shit, it didn't work. What am I going to do here? Way off to the west, you visualize, like, a strange flicker of red-orange light, and you aren't certain on what it is. You, for a second, think it might just be the sun starting to rise because it is so late at night.
Who woke up Groudon?
Kyogre. The fuck you looking at, fish?
It's Groudon on his Kendrick Lamar shit.
Yeah.
Kyogre exists and Groudon's like, no, I'm not having that shit.
Whoa. That's why it's my favorite conflict.
Oh. Dog, what the fuck do I do?
Well, you saw that flicker of light, yeah?
Yeah, but we don't know for sure what that is. Yeah.
What do you think? You could do anything about the stuff in front of you?
I could try to crowbar the plate out, but I think Quacko might die.
Do you have any things?
I got some potions I could use, yeah.
If you use a potion as an action, you get the full benefit. You don't have to roll.
Okay. What has a better formula? Super potion or Moo Moo Milk?
Did we ever notate Moo Moo Milk?
We did not notate.
I'm going to say Moo Moo Milk, just regardless. Whatever super potion is, Moo Moo Milk is better.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Because it's Schmidt's thing, you know? It's like Moo Moo Milk.
Right. It's love good old milkies.
Permanently yeah. pasteurized and always fresh and cold. It's just magical.
It's so crazy.
Do 6d12 plus 14, or just take the full value of that, which is 86. You are welcome to heal Quacko for a full 86 if you decide to do it as an action.
I think I will do that.
Okay. Schmidt, while sitting on the soft surface that is Tentacruel's head, holds Quacko tenderly and pours moo milk into his beak. Quacko feels rejuvenated from it and is delighted to this milky flavor. So funny feeding milk to a duck. I just don't know what to say.
Just caressing him like a little baby. Take your milkies.
In the midst of like this ocean god like terrorizing the planet.
Now
like...
you need your strength.
Exactly.
My bravest bird, you need your strength.
Pretty funny. Pretty good. Yeah. Ooh, okay. Schmidt, we're doing like kind of a pseudo initiative. We'll check in with you in a little bit. Okay.
Awesome.
Cindy and Gimli, it's been a while since we played, and I want to make sure that you have the opportunity to kind of interact with this strangely stoic Moss Deep before you have potential plot thrust upon you. So I will ask the question, is there anything that you like want to do or looking forward to do in this moment?
I'm kind of just willing to thrust myself into the plot.
Okay.
I'm down for plot.
Okay, great. Cindy, Gimli, Trevor, Lasagna, the Crustle, are kind of gathered in the front entrance and at just outside of the Moss Deep City Gym. There's also Gimli, TMF, Delaney and Brandon are off doing cop things, but they're checking in every now and then. Just kind of sitting put as the top of the sea level just barely starts to eclipse the top of this dome that is protecting Moss Deep. The lights are kind of flashing on and off in the buildings. It makes sense that access to power would be limited or just running off of generator. Things seem to be inconsistent. While standing around discussing, especially with Steven and Maxie, who seem to be kind of like authorities in the situation, while Tate and Liza are meditating and focusing on the Telekine Dome, there is a reaction from Crustle, from Lasagna the Crustle. He's making a strange kind of like staticky sound. His mouth is just hanging open and it's like, and it's a very peculiar kind of sound. Gimli, could you roll me an investigation, please?
Mm-hmm. That's bad. 3.
Not super high. Gimli, you don't know what's going on with this crab. You're not a biologist. But you do... It reminds you of when you were spending time in Mount Coronet, and you would use radio or walkie-talkies to communicate with fellow miners. And sometimes you had to, like, adjust the antenna to pick up the signal just right to make it work.
Cool. So I'll grab Lasagna's hands and adjust it like it's a TV antenna.
Okay. You're moving his claws around?
Yeah. See if I can move his claws around.
Okay. You fiddle with them for a bit and he continues making a strange static kind of sound. And then after a while, you hear a voice telepathically into the room. It sounds hurried and rushed. And it says, Tate and Liza, come in. Any psychics in Moss Deep, please get back to me.
10-4, good buddy, I receive you. I just shouted across his mouth.
Very good. The gem on his back kind of like flickers and glows, and the voice says, oh, finally, this is Champion Red. I'm transponding through my Espeon, and I'm riding on the back of my Charizard. It seems that this issue has befallen Mosty much sooner than expected. Can you tell me what's going on?
We're in the device with...
My parents summoned Kyogre!
We're in the device with Tate and Liza. I don't know what else to say about it because we don't have much knowledge, but they're meditating currently. It's an emergency device in case, I think, Kyogre or Groudon return.
Red on the other end gives kind of a sound of recognition and says, yes, myself and my league comrade Sabrina were involved in the construction of that, so I'm glad to hear that it's working. Cindy, you're there. I hear that Kyogre's been resummoned. Is that what's happening?
Yeah.
Very good. With the kind of sorrowful yeah, speaking to Red, you can see that on Crustle's shell, all of a sudden, like, you see, like, an image through Espeon's eyes, just kind of refracted through the shell in funny, like, awkward dimensions where things are, like, squeezed super wide. And if you move around Crystal Shell, you can look inside and see it refracted in different shapes and stuff. But anyways, you see Red's face, and it looks goofy through the shell, and you can see Charizard's wings flapping behind him and the back of Charizard's tail burning bright. You also see a lighthouse behind Red and various, like, well-lit buildings, and it's raining not as heavily as it is where you're at, but it's raining over there. Red says, "I'll be there as soon as possible. I was worried that something like this might happen. I am afraid that one of the only ways to disrupt super ancient legendary Pokemon like this would be using the power of the aspects. Thankfully, I myself have quite a good matchup with the aspect of lightning in my possession, but I do have a problem." And Gimli, who's in the room, kind of like nods and sighs. And Red says, "For safety from NRG, we kept the lightning plate separate from the aspect of lightning. So with the Telekine Dome, we're going to need a solution." And Maxie is thinking, and Steven speaks up over Red, and Steven says, "The Telekine Dome is hard to break, but there's one way to do it while keeping it intact, and it's using a great amount of force." And Maxie asks, like, "What do you mean? Are you suggesting that we create a large explosion?" And Steven nods, and Red says, "All right, Quacko Paco, while you're in the Telekine Dome, I'm going to get to Moss Deep as soon as I can. And when I get there, I'm going to need you to launch the plate out of the dome somehow. You'll have about 10 minutes to figure it out. And then if we don't have the aspect of lightning ready to go and I'm on the back of Charizard, this might be an even worse situation. I'm going to have Espeon focus while I'm on the trip, and I wish you the best of luck. I'll see you in 10 minutes. And the psychic link
I love severs. Explosions.
Oh, no.
So Champion Red has essentially tasked Gimli and Cindy with making a bomb to launch the plate that belongs to Red and Gimli out of the dome in a way that Red can access it. Maxie will say, "You know, if you need any help, I'm quite practiced in explosives and pyrotechnics, so just let me know."
So are we just going to burst a hole and then throw the plate out? Is that the goal? Or are we launching the plate with the explosive?
Steven will say, "Ideally, the payload is accompanied, like, through the explosion, because the hole will reseal itself after a short amount of time."
Okay, so I will have Lasagna put a barrier on the plate, and that way we can put as much force as we want into it and launch it through the entire barrier. Does that make sense? I think that'll work.
Steven and Maxie are just kind of, like, leaving this kind of in your hands. They are willing to help, but they think that sounds like a good idea. Maxie will mention that with the energy invasion, a large store of jet fuel remain on the island, and that there might be a way to use it, but carefully.
Are we trapped in the dome, though?
You are trapped in the dome, but so is the space center.
Oh, yeah, the whole space center's in the dome.
The whole island's in the dome.
Oh, true. Okay. I forgot how big the dome was. I felt like it was the gym room, and that's what.
Oh, no, it covers the whole city.
Okay.
It is quite large.
Otherwise, all those tourists would be SOL.
Yeah.
Have fun swimming. Beachfront experience? How about beach ocean experience?
All right.
I'm so sorry.
So, okay. All right. You guys are welcome to strategize and come up with a plan. I think I might bounce it back to Schmidt for a little bit. Schmidt, Mewtwo floats down to you, just mostly to check in because you fell from a great height. And he will also tell you that he's intercepted a psychic communication between who he believes is Champion Red of the Kanto region and Lasagna the Crustle. And kind of will illustrate a brief idea of the plan that's been described, is that this creature is defeatable, and especially will be defeatable with the assistance of Red, but they're going to have to somehow make that happen through the dome. And we'll let you know. Additionally, you will realize that orange light that you saw way, way, way in the distance is the incredibly powerful tail flame of Red's Charizard.
Okay. So he's coming.
He's coming. He's going to be there pretty soon. Sometimes the brave thing is to run, or you can you can do whatever you want, of course, but I want to make sure you know that, like, evasive stancing your whole turn is a reasonable action. If you are worried about longevity, or you can go on the offensive, or you can reposition, etc.
How far away is the dome? Fully underwater by this point?
just barely, like this surface of the ocean is like lapping over the top of the bubble, but the rest of the city like is underwater. It's fairly close. It's 30 feet or less from your position for sure.
I think the only option I do have is to go on the offensive.
Okay. How do you do so?
You said there was the plate that was like lodged in one of its like spine fin things, correct?
Yeah, it's like at the tip of its tail, which is a really unfortunate spot because it keeps like gyrating in the air. It flaps up and down to propel Kyogre forward, so it's a little rough. Additionally, even though I described it, it hasn't been a while. There are various like vortexes that are spiraling around Kyogre, which effectively increases its armor class and its ability to make saves. And it has like these orbs of pure concentrated water that just kind of fire off laser beams around its body just every now and then. Just hardened bolts of water just shoot out in various directions. I was gesticulating that, by the way. I was doing finger guns around my apartment. Just so everyone knows.
What I wouldn't give to have fucking Cloud Nine on Patricia right now.
You're also welcome to hold if you want, if you just aren't sure, need more time.
I've got a semblance of a plan.
Okay.
You said there was like a watery thing around the plate itself, right?
Yeah, there's some sort of like arcane energy that is also protecting it in a way.
Okay.
It seems to be coming from the plate itself too.
Gotcha. How would bind work in this situation?
Bind.
Would it just happen or would it just fail?
What is the description of that?
On hit, the target is grappled.
Which Pokemon is doing that?
Kecleon.
I would suggest that Kyogre is immune to the effects of being grappled because it's gargantuan. But
that's fair. That's fair.
You could use it to like restrict its one of its appendages, perhaps. Or just hang on to it. I think that's a perfectly good flavor. And it will still do damage, certainly, if it hits, but you will need a gargantuan creature to grapple Kyogre.
I have a plan, but I think it's stupid.
I love stupid plans. Do you want to share it?
I want to have Mewtwo teleport Schmidt above Kyogre.
Above Kyogre, okay.
Yeah, I want to send out Walter, the Dunsparce.
Yeah.
And I want to like airdrop like drill missile on the plate to try to dislodge it.
That's so fucking cool. Of course you can try that, yeah. That's a Mewtwo teleport, which we could say is like Misty Step. We could say as a bonus action. Walter using movement and then hyper drilling. Yeah, we'll just do it. First, a pretty easy dex save from Mewtwo, DC 11, just to get to the teleportation site uninhibited.
Okay. Oh shit, this is super dexterous. I got a 19 on the die. I think that's like a 26.
Yeah. Mewtwo is able to, like, using its psychic powers, navigate the hurricane-like storm that you are residing in to get to a good vantage point above Kyogre. How many feet above it do you want to be? Kyogre is already 50 feet above sea level.
I guess, like, maybe 20 feet? Just high enough that, like, the drop itself will have impact.
Okay, yeah. 20 feet is a good enough height.
20 feet is like two stories, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well above the ocean now, as you go 70 feet in the air to be above Kyogre. Again, you get a pretty good vantage of Masip City while you're up here, just the tip of the bubble lapping against the risen sea level. You can see the Shoal Cave in the top part of it all just blown off from where Kyogre emerged. You can even swear you just way out past the storm now, thanks to the light that Charizard is making. You can kind of see Lilycove City just many, many miles to the west because you're so far up. And to the east, you also see the slight change in sky to like a sunrise. One of the things that you could see but may not be able to will require another free perception check.
Okay. We do like free. I got a 2 on the die.
Okay. Never mind. We're good.
Famously good at perception checks.
Famously good. Yeah. Something that you do see without needing a perception check is that Archie's just fucking going at it. He's got Sharpedo and he's holding on to Sharpedo, and Sharpedo is launching him out of the water and he's just trying to grab onto Kyogre. He's just failing and he's getting blasted and he's getting like all bruised and beaten up and he keeps landing back in the sea. Tentacruel doing a pretty good job of catching him, but like he's just screaming the whole time. He's just really having a blast.
And did we ever communicate the plate to him?
I don't think so. He's been in such like a rage, but you're welcome to do so. You will.
Can I do that this turn or next turn?
You will have an additional action because you still have just moved in bonus action on Mewtwo. So after Walter attacks
you, Walter out. So I think sending Walter out was the action, right?
Eh, Yeah. I'll, if you want to attempt to communicate with Archie, I'll give it to you.
Okay. I would like to do that.
How do you do it?
Oh, can I psychically through Mewtwo?
Sure.
I guess Mewtwo's already doing a lot this turn.
He is doing a lot. He's going to have to make a DC 14 intelligence check.
I got 15 on the die.
Nice. Yeah. He can communicate like about a sentence from you to Archie.
I'm just going to say like, it's more than one sentence, but like, there's a plate on the tail. Go for the tail. Go for the tail.
You don't hear psychically back from Archie, but you do just hear a man roaring deep below you. Just truly in the thick of it, just being animalistic and wild in his lifelong goal of wrestling a fish.
Awesome.
You understand that roaring to be like message received, and in his next launch off Sharpedo, he will be going in that direction.
Awesome.
I think it's Walter time, so you're going to send him out. He's going to drop down in Hyperdrill, right?
Yep.
Okay. Sending him out and him falling are things that can happen without any kind of check, because that is just gravity. It is just working. He will descend while Mewtwo, Schmidt, and Quacko watch, being suspended by psychic energy, thanks to Mewtwo. Roll to hit your Hyperdrill.
Okay. This might be asking too much.
Yeah.
But if I'm behind Kyogre, does this technically count as flanking?
I will give you advantage for this roll to hit, just because it's sick and cool. I do think Kyogre knows your presence. I think it has that kind of, not omnipotence, but like it knows what's going on in a general sense.
Gotcha. Got that sense. That advantage did matter. That is a 30-20 even.
Yeah. That will, in fact, get the armor class for this monster in this location. And Walter is welcome to drill away just right at the tail of Kyogre, where the plate is seemingly lodged, maybe is the wrong word, but it's like in there, it's connected to Kyogre's body in that place. Roll your damage for Hyperdrill, please.
It is 43 points of normal type damage.
Pretty solid. Yeah. Pretty good, Walter. That's pretty sick. Yeah, he descends from the sky, drill spinning, and then connects with the tail. And while it's not that much time in the grand scheme of things, he's probably only connected for 5 seconds. He drills very vigorously until he is thrown off by the flopping of the tail. It seems that like this has somewhat agitated this barrier that is around the plate. And from what you can tell, from what you can see, it seems that it has been lessened to some degree. However, it was still going to be very difficult to remove. Anything else for Schmidt?
Gotcha. I think that's all the actions I can take.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like I'm out of economy.
After Walter gets thrown off, he's like soaring kind of to the north over towards Moss Deep. He's moving pretty fast. You can either deal with that at the start of your next turn, or you can have Mewtwo try a DC 15 intelligence to try and grab him psychically. That's up to you.
Can't Walter fly?
Does he have a flying speed?
He does. It has a flying speed of 5. Okay. So he can basically just kind of hover in the
air.
He
can hover, yeah. So he'll be thrown and he can fight against it with his wings. Give him a strength check, actually, to see how hard he can push being thrown by Kyogre.
15.
15 is solid. He's going to soar over towards the front of Kyogre. It's going to be hard to like withstand that much power, but he's not going to necessarily descend. He's going to be able to hover in place for a little bit.
Awesome.
Pretty good stuff. Yeah, excellent maneuver by Walter. And after the drill finished, and once he got thrown off the tail, Kyogre did let out a behemoth roar as if it actually took some significant damage and felt some pain. So nicely done, Schmidt. Anything else?
I lay down one face down and end my turn.
Okay. let's return. Shepherd. Let's go to Gimli and Cindy. What is their plan? What are they doing?
So we had two concepts of a plan.
And because the very, very tippy top of the bubble is not quite under the bubble, I think my plan is the superior plan.
Let's hear it.
I said we can go with it first, and if there's too many checks, then we'll do my version of it. So go ahead on.
All right, we're going to take the jet fuel. Mm-hmm. We're going to take the protected plate. I'm going to throw them up.
What do you mean?
Up.
You're going to throw the jet fuel and the plate?
I'm gonna fly on Salamence up to like the very tippy top of the bubble.
Okay.
Where it's not quite underwater. I'm gonna throw them up, or have Jack possibly throw them for me, because Jack is stronger than I am.
Okay.
Throw them, ignite the jet fuel, and have it go poof through the top, and then Red can like be there and catch it.
When you say throw them, you're saying the jet fuel and the plate.
Yes.
Okay. The jet fuel, there's a pretty large quantity, and it's in pretty heavy containers. Mind you, it's designed to, like, go on a rocket. It's not designed to be, like, carried by one person. So we're going to say that, for an easy description, we're looking at, like, oil barrels that is just filled with highly explosive fuel. So
can we put it in something smaller, like a little gas can?
You can transfer the fuel if that makes your bomb easier, certainly. That is definitely something you can do.
So my proposal was, instead of yeeting it into the air, because, as you said, they're in big containers and it's probably going to be hard to do, I was like, can we just line them up, like, near a wall, like a cliffside or a wall that's near the edge of the barrier rather than the top, and then yeet it out?
So rather than going through the top, going through the side or something?
Yeah.
Okay, that is...
And then get flooded.
It is certainly... These are both options and they both present their challenges, right? Cindy's strategy is probably going to have some harder checks and be harder to pull off, but the likelihood of Red immediately finding success if it works is very high. Launching it out the side is going to be easier to construct, but Red's going to have to take more time to, like, get Blastoise to go into the sea, and also risks just it like sinking and him not making that check. It's riskier in that sense, but you're a lot more likely to evict the plate from the bubble. There is a chance, if things go really, really wrong, that the bubble can start to flood as well.
Regardless of,
yeah, just either way that you guys are doing it, it could just go poorly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And there's more solutions to the problem too. But yeah, the
how long will the bubble be open once it is blasted through?
This is the first time the bubble has really been used, so Steven is, like, not totally sure. The accuracy of the blast is going to make a big difference, because that'll determine the size of the hole, and then that will, like, determine how long it takes for it to reform itself. Where the hole is made and how big the hole is both contribute to that.
What if I take the plate and I go through the hole at the tippy top?
Oh, since
it's covered in water.
Not the tippy top. The tippy top has a little bit of... Like Richie said, it was, like, lapping at the top of the...
It's shallow at the top.
Bubble.
It is less than shallow at the top. At the top.
Yeah.
It's like a little sprinkle. It's like rain, a little bit of rain. But that's of rain once you go outside.
I'm telling you that that's not how physics works, though. Like, it's not going to be like, oh, you take a little swimmy. Like, the water's coming down at you if you're pushed through from the top.
A little bit of waterfall. Have you ever taken a little shower under a waterfall?
It's not a little bit of waterfall. It's a lot of pressure.
The pressure at the top will be less than the pressure at the side, but there will be pressure regardless.
Waterfall.
Neither of your options are bad or wrong. There's something to consider.
So you can carry it through, but we still have to punch the hole in the barrier.
Yeah, there's still got to be an explosion. The goal is
just to ignite something at the top. It's a little easier to do if I'm not also juggling a plate, as far as, like, causing an explosion.
We don't have to ignite anything. You could just laser it through. Like, it doesn't have to be an ignition. It doesn't have to be an explosion either.
Do you think a solar beam could hole punch this bubble?
You always just test it too. If you just want to, like, see what happens.
You just want to fire a laser at the barrier?
Well, I'd want to do it closer to the tippy top, but I don't want to do that until Red is closer.
For anything, like, less than, like, a full Draco meteor or, like, using jet fuel, you're welcome to, like, test things and see, like, how effective they are, because your Pokemon can hold back. Jet fuel cannot.
Yeah.
Additionally, you have access to Steven's Metagross and Maxie's Camerupt if you want to use either of them for anything.
How long does drought last?
Drought is an effect that lasts, I think, 5 rounds. I think if you left the bubble, it would simply be overwritten.
Yeah, you cannot drought with Kyogre out.
No, but that's outside the bubble. Inside the bubble, I can to use Solar Beam without having to, like, charge it.
Yeah.
But I guess this isn't, like, real, real initiative, so it doesn't matter as much. Yeah,
you would have time to charge it and shoot it.
But either way, when Soli gets let out, that's happening.
You're trading 6 seconds for 12 seconds, you know? Like, it's not going to make a difference in the grand scheme of things.
Okay. I guess I'll say, like, I'm going to check something, and I'm going to run outside and send Soli out.
Okay.
And, like, try to head as close as I can to one of the barriers. One of the, like, whatever side's closest.
Sure. Yeah, you're at the north, like, western part of the island, so you're pretty close to the rocky cliffs that just barely cascade against the Telekine Dome at the northern side. So you can test right there if you want.
Sick. Soli, use Solar Beam, but, like,
gently.
Not 100%. Like, see how hard you can push it without breaking the barrier, just to see if it's something you could do.
Sure. Yeah, Soli's kind of...
Does that make
like,
any sense?
Yeah, Soli's making, like, an evaluation of her power and the power of the dome. So yes. I would... Let's get a wisdom roll. Let's do, like, a... It's not nature. Just, like, roll a wisdom for Soli. She's going to hit the solar beam. That's fine. And it's going to be gentle, and she can gradually ramp up the power.
And I can always put a barrier around you plus the plate.
My wisdom roll is 12.
Okay. That is above 10, which is the important part to not lead to disaster. Soli fires off a solar beam and just kind of focuses a point of light energy just on the northern part of the dome. On the other side of it, of this pink kind of facade, it's just dark, deep abyss. You just know that there's water. You see fish Pokemon every now and then scurrying to the south, trying to get away from this calamity. Soli's able to focus until it just barely begins to break the dome. And a significant stream of water, a very narrow one, but a very powerful one, erupts from the solar beam and forces back into Soli. Have Soli make a dex save, please.
Okay. She also has her weakness policy.
That's funny.
That's a nat 20.
Oh, shit. Okay, so Soli's able to totally dodge it as, for about 3 seconds, a stream of like of water about the diameter of a nickel blasts through the dome. In like a straight line, like it's not losing any momentum, and then it gradually gets resealed over the matter of about 10 seconds.
Okay. So if we do math and we do a big hole, we got this. Hear me out. Alpha Soli. Solar beam. And then we go through.
What, because you feel like you need a bigger hole?
Because then I can, I mean, I guess at that point I could just toss the
if you want to go through, I can barrier you.
Oh, to protect me from...
Yeah, from, like, the flood and stuff.
At least until I get, like, out of the water.
Right. Well, until I can't see you anymore, which will break concentration.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
It's like, I can't focus on you if I can't see you, so.
So we need a really big umbrella for the hole when the hole opens.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, we could also apply the barrier to make it a big umbrella. Like, who says we can't? It's a psychic barrier.
I think I have a plan.
Okay. We're looking at the side angle or the top angle?
Oh, the top.
Okay.
Because then I can ride Salamence, Fang the Salamence, Uppies, and Outies with Soli on the back.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Please strategize as I'm about to assign you a skill challenge. Haven't done one of these in a while. I'm going to be asking each trainer optionally and each Pokemon optionally to make unique checks to determine the success of this action. You are also welcome to utilize Metagross and utilize Camerupt if they are of use to you. I'm at least going to need Gimli, Trevor, Soli, and Cindy, and I'm assuming Fane's going to be in there too. Basically, each creature making a distinct skill check to succeed on this challenge.
Okay.
In the meantime, you can check in with Schmidt while you guys think about that if you want. Schmidt, do you have any new plans? Are you strategizing? Do you want to run it back? Or are you still kind of contemplating, like, what do I even do?
Still just trying to contemplate, man. Because okay. It's like, I don't know, the other option would be stalling, but I don't think I can stall this giant fish.
Okay, yeah, that is fair. It is letting out a roar following the hyper drill, and it is going to be just kind of doing a general attack. Schmidt, Mewtwo, Quacko, and Walter, please make a dexterity save. I know it's a lot of rolling.
Ooh. Schmidt got... Dirty 22. Quacko got a 16. You said Mewtwo and Walter, all four?
Yes, all four. Also, Archie is also subject to this.
And Walter got a 15.
Excellent. So anyone who saved with over a 20 is taking 15 points of water type damage. Not bad at all. Schmidt can have that to 7. And then just escalating from there. Less than 20 is going to be 30, and Walter will be taking 60 points of water-type damage. As the orbs that circle Kyogre's body just shoot water jets in every direction, and they collide with everyone as Kyogre lets out another roar. Additionally, we're kind of skewing initiative turns here a little bit and like time frames, but... Red has flown close enough where you can see probably about 100 feet away. You can distinctly make out the shape of a Charizard. He's pretty close. And despite the pouring rain, Charizard's tail is glowing like a lighthouse. It is incredibly bright. What else? What for your turn now that Kyogre kind of took its legendary action?
You said that the barrier around the plate had kind of been affected by the last hit?
Yes.
Could I Psy-Strike the plate remotely to see if that would help with anything?
Sure, yeah. Worst case scenario, it just kind of hits with Kyogre, so...
Okay.
You're attacking with the goal to, like, loosen the plate in quotes, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I would like to subject them to a dex save.
Okay.
Because I can choose to do that with Psy-Strike.
That is a 28.
Yeah, they passed.
Okay. Is that a nullify save if it's a pass?
I did not have flavor for that. It said you just may choose to roll to hit or subject them to a DC 16 dex save.
Oh. We can do half damage. That's fine.
Halfsies? Okay.
You're not going to have an effect with this attack. It's a legendary versus legendary, so just roll half damage.
26.
Okay. Yeah, Mewtwo extends a three-fingered hand and his eyes glow and they subject Kyogre's tail to like a barrage of psychic force, and you can visually see like shards of psychic energy like pew, 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 just like hammering into this part of Kyogre's tail. Kyogre lets out another scream, albeit not as loud as when it got hyper-drilled by Walter, and there's a flash around the plate like there's some sort of impact. It still seems to be surrounded like in a bubble, but... You're dealing damage. You're having an effect. I don't know how else to describe it necessarily. What else for Schmidt?
That's really all I can do.
Okay. Very good.
Can I have Walter... How far away is Walter?
Walter's on the front side of Kyogre, so we're going to say he's 40 feet from you, and he's hovering.
Okay. How long did we say the Pokeball laser was?
It's pretty long. 30 feet without obstructions can do a recall. At this distance, you'll have to make a check. It's going to be Dex, which is good for Schmidt. I'm going to say... Or he can move. But at 40 feet, it's going to be like a DC 12 dex.
Yeah, just have Walter come a little bit closer. He can only fly for 5.
Yeah, so he's still going to be a little out of range, and I can knock that down to DC 10, which should be guaranteed unless you roll a 1, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, so roll that dice.
I got a 14 on the die.
That'll do it. You're able to recall Walter.
Awesome.
Anything else?
That'll be it.
Okay. By the next time that we check in with you, Red will be there, and it is up to you if you want to go, like, check in with him. He's below you. You're 70 feet in the air, and he's more, like, 30 above sea level. He's, like, at Kyogre's level, but he will be at the site of battle pretty soon. Gimli Cindy, what have you decided for your skill challenge?
So, ultimately, what we decided is Cindy's going to fly up, burst a hole through the top of it with Solar Beam, and then I'm going to barrier around Cindy, and then she's going to climb through that hole that she makes.
Okay.
That's like the end goal. However, before we do be doing skills, according to the things that we received from saving the ship from the Diana situation, I have 4 max potions in my inventory.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Can I
sell them, right?
No.
Okay.
Not that I recall. Can I give Fang a max potion before we, like, kick that off?
Sure. That will restore his HP fully. No power points, but all HP.
Fantastic. Because I was at 30 HP on Fang. And that is a little spicy dicey, especially entering the ocean.
Yeah. Yeah, let's get the plan described. Let's see the skill challenge. Let's see if you succeed or fail. Order does matter, so... I'll let you retcon if you need to, but, you know, each order that each character does a thing will matter. I'm going to be writing what everyone gets to.
All right, so I guess I'll get the barrier around you before you go up?
So I think you need to make a check. I need to make a check, and our Pokemons involved need to make a check.
Yeah, everyone has to make one.
And if we're failing, we can call upon the Metagross and the Camera.
Mm-hmm.
I do want Soli to go alpha.
Okay. That will not be a skill challenge thing. You can just subject her to the Atlas Stone and she will receive the power of the flame plate, and you will bear witness to a transformation that you've seen a handful of other times. For a moment, all of the oxygen will be sucked out of your lungs as it goes to power Soli's flame. Quickly it returns, but she gets her similar kind of blue sheen, and blue wisps begin to hover around her body. Her tails are undulating in a powerful and arcane mystic way, and she has become powered up. You have Alpha Soli. Congratulations.
I feel like we need to establish like what things we want to do and then like order them. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, you guys can chat it out. You don't have to like lock in. I'm going to be like, oh, you said it. You're doing it.
Yeah. That's why I'm saying like we should play through, like at least list the thing, the checks we want to make, and then we can drag and drop them in the order that we want them to happen.
Yeah.
So I have a good feeling Fang's going to be making either an athletics or acrobatics check to get us either in position or through the hole once it's made.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Later.
Are we both going? Yeah, I thought you were just holding the plate and going through.
I am, but you still need to make some sort of skill check for the skill challenge.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Me, probably Dex to not fall off.
Mm-hmm.
Cindy, not die. Dex check. Holy.
Yeah, I assume maintaining the barrier would be an int check, so...
Solely, some kind of hot heatin' check.
You're not hot heatin', you're solar beaming.
Still hot. Have you felt the sun? Fucking hurts.
Never. Yeah, never actually. Never touched it.
The sun burns my skin on a regular basis.
Yeah, but you didn't touch it, you know. You don't know.
I've been kissed by the sun.
Just kissed by the sun.
I'm so sorry. Okay. So what is it? Lasagna that's going to make like a barrier check.
Mm-hmm. That should be the only check from me, I think, realistically.
Yes, but you as a person need to make some kind of check. Maybe you make like a directional check, like a I'm going to give you good advice because I'm a dad and I know things.
Fatherly wisdom.
Gimli father check.
Of course.
Okay.
Father check.
I think you need to make your father check first to be like, okay, here's the plan, here's what we're doing. Doobie doobie doo. Then we got lasagna. Then we got Soli doing the blasting. Cindy not dying. And Fang doing the maneuver to get us out of here.
And for the record, the more things that you like, what we're going for here is like a DC threshold. It's an invisible number. I'm not telling you. The more that you preemptively assign Pokemon to do, even if they fail, even if they get a one. Well, maybe not a one. Even if they get a two, they will be contributing to reaching that threshold. So even if you like don't necessarily think they need to be involved, if you can just come up with a flavor for a skill that hasn't been used, like if you can just throw religion in there somehow and they roll well, that'll help towards, you know what I'm saying? So even if they don't seem essential, it will help the challenge.
Oh, so, Stephen Stone, can you pray? Just make a religion check. Oh, just pray for us.
So I should probably be the one to go through the barrier, not you. Just because I'm stronger. So, like, any athletics thing to push through.
You need to be able to punch Red in the face if circumstances should call for it.
Okay. I still think I have a way higher chance of surviving this than you do.
Do you want to go with me?
No, you should. Someone needs to stay.
Who?
One of us! What do you mean you? We have to be here to protect. One of us has to be here to protect.
Even Stone not capable of protection? Isn't he like good at this stuff? Have it's the
harder.
Police.
No, it's harder if two people go through one hole. Considering how quickly it closes,
it's gonna be a big hole.
It needs to be one person.
I'm fitting a whole salamence through this hole.
You were getting the whole salamence through the hole?
That was my goal. Yes.
What?
I'm riding Fang through this hole.
Oh, that's obnoxious. I mean, okay, that's fine then. I thought you were just jumping through the hole. No. That's what we talked about.
Oh, I guess I was not clear. I am riding my dragon through the hole.
Okay, then that would be harder for me to do then. Then never mind. I have to barrier protect you, the whole salamence. I thought I was putting a barrier around you. That makes it harder, by the way.
But it's a skill check. We have to meet a...
I know, but it makes the skill check harder. At least it should.
Does it?
Oh, it makes a part of it, I would assume. You're trying to get, because you have to make a bigger hole.
Richie, okay, so what Richie just said was, Richie just said that there is a number, an invisible number, we don't know what the number is. We need to hit it. Even if we get, like, somebody gets a one, we need enough people doing enough things to hit this invisible number.
I know, but putting a dragon through a hole and a teenage girl through a hole does make it harder.
It will adjust the DC by a single digit. Not one, but, like, between one and nine.
Yeah.
Okay, so who is anybody in the vicinity particularly religious?
You're just adding prayers to contribute to the thing.
A religion check's a check.
Maybe not necessarily religious to like a god, but just religious in like how the world and nature and physics works is Maxi. He is quite, he cares deeply about things that are quite existential.
Okay. I put my hand on Maxi's shoulder and I say, can you bless this mess?
On a fucking sign in your kitchen or something.
Yeah,
that's
Lord
awesome.
Bless this mess.
That's so funny. He will give kind of a solemn nod and he'll say, absolutely, I will keep you in my thoughts and I wish you the best for your success. Is that the first thing you want?
I mean, that in itself doesn't actively put a hole in the bubble, so I do think that's not a bad place to start.
Okay.
Jay, are you in agreement?
Yeah.
He is fairly intelligent, and he rolled a 16 on the die, so that's going to get you a 19 to start things off. 19 religion. No more religion for the rest of the skill challenge.
No.
Okay.
No more prayers.
That's pretty good, though. Okay. Great start.
All right, Sydney. I know I can't fly, so you're going to do this, but I just need you, just one simple thing. Just keep going forward. Don't hesitate. Don't stop. Always go forward. Do you understand?
Are you telling me to keep moving forward?
Keep moving forward.
Another sign for your kitchen. except that goes in your car or something. It goes in your
And remember
Prius.
To live, to laugh, and to love. Don't forget that when you're on the other side. You live, you laugh, and you love.
Is this like a charisma? I would let you flavor it as intimidation, because it's like dad wisdom, if you want to do that. I don't know how else you can squeeze intimidation into the skill challenge.
Also, don't you get like a bonus to intimidation?
He does.
That should be an 18. Yeah.
Okay, great. 18 intimidation. We have two checks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, Lasagna. We have to get a barrier around Sydney and...
Who is it, Fang? Yeah, Fang the Salamence.
Fang.
Yeah.
Wait, I need the plate.
Jimly can give it to you. If you want Jimly to...
Oh yeah!
Toss it to you with the dexterity check.
Bonus! Four points.
If it fails, it might hinder you. That's the thing with these checks.
My plan was to use a dex check to not fall off the Salamis situation.
Yeah, so we can't do dex check. All right,
he can just hand it to you. That's fine.
My dex is shit.
Son, we need the electric plate.
Jimly will nod and rush over to Cindy and say good luck and hand Cindy the zap plate. I believe it's called.
Okay. Actually, I don't want to make a dex check. I want to make a survival check.
So
I'm trying not to die. I know we're not quite there yet, but that's
my flavor for that is granted that the hole succeeds. I think for the first time, survival is applicable as you face the water and not drown. That is, in fact, survival. So if you want to survive that, you're welcome to. You're not going to survive going through the hole. That'll be different, and that'll probably be Fang doing acrobatics or something.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Because my survival is a plus 10, because I'm, like, really good at it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Somehow. Okay.
So we have to apply the barrier. Barrier application.
Yes.
Would that be int?
Probably. Some sort of int. If he's proficient in Arcana or something, you can probably loop that in.
What can Camerupt do?
Camerupt can explode like a volcano, and that's pretty much it. You're not going to get a whole lot of else. Camerupt could move something too. He's like fairly formidable. He could push something.
But I don't feel like that's applicable here.
Those are kind of the two things he does.
And Metagross.
Metagross can fly around. He's pretty strong and he can subject stuff to psychic blasts.
Ooh, maybe he can fly up with us and just kind of like help maintain the psychic hole opening.
He could try and hold it open.
Yeah. To like help just long enough to get Salamence all the way through, because Salamence is kind of big.
Yeah, he could do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or attempt to do it.
Barry check was a 22.
Excellent. Lasagna, Arcana, 22. It's adding up.
Okay, so Metagross, that's going to happen. So we have the father check, we have the barrier. I think is it time to fly up there and blast it with Alpha Soli?
Yeah.
Is Alpha Soli, really matter, but just for flavor, is Alpha Soli standing on the ground or like on a building, or is she going up with Fang?
She's riding Fang with me.
Okay, great.
Okay. So I think it is going to be a blast from Soli, whatever that check's going to be. followed by Metagross holding it open psychically.
I'd like you to roll your attack, whatever you're choosing, if it's still Solar Beam or if it is a fire type.
So Solar Beam is a DC.
Okay.
That's the issue.
Yeah, we can just repurpose it. Make it, it's going to be based on wisdom is what the move is. So just make a wisdom specific Solar Beam roll. Just roll a d20 and add your wisdom.
Okay. And Alpha Soli has +5 wisdom.
Actually.
Is it plus more than that now?
It should be. I'm going to throw this in rules and sheets. The generic usual boost for aspects is you have +5 in your main stats, which for Soli is dex and wisdom. So,
is it +5 on top of my, like, my +2?
Yeah, so it increases the score, so that means we're going to have to do the math. So what's Soli's wisdom?
Okay. 14.
Oh, okay, that is actually easy. So it brings up to 19, which gives you +4.
Okay.
And then you have your level times 3 extra HP.
That's the general
alpha formula. Sometimes there's deviations, but that's mostly what it is.
Okay, because I just had additional 27 HP. Down.
That was when you were like level 4 or something.
All right, I'll do that additional HP later.
Okay.
And my AC goes up to 20 is what I have written down as well.
Probably because your dex increases, so yes.
Because my dex becomes...
Your dex increases by 5, so we...
Which 20's, is at 18.
Yeah, it's either 20 or 21 is what your armor class becomes, so it's fine.
Okay. Cool. So I'm rolling plus wisdom?
Yep.
So my wisdom is +4?
Yes.
That's 16.
16. It is certainly not a failure. Soli, from the back of Fane, uses her arcane powers as the aspect of flame to launch a solar beam powered by her own kind of artificial sun that she's created through her new drought powers from the ability patch to begin blasting a hole, a concentrated hole, at the top of the Telekine Dome. Thank you, Soli. What's next?
Metagross is making a hold open check.
Okay. He is proficient in athletics, so I'd recommend that.
Let me see what Fang's higher one is. Acrobatics is Fang's higher one, but athletics is also +9. Which one did you say Metagross was?
Athletics. He's not acrobatic. He's athletic.
Okay. So athletics makes sense. Yes, that is good.
Steven will instruct Metagross to assist in like broadening the hole as Fane is about to like eclipse it. Water's slowly beginning to drizzle out, but it's not quite fully open yet. It's not fun if I roll it. Can we get like either Elodie or Schmidt just to roll for Metagross? Or Gimli?
I got you.
Yeah.
What am I rolling?
Strength plus 11.
16.
Great. So athletics for Metagross, 16. Okay. Yeah, Metagross places his iron fists as he hovers in the air, like, you know, 70 feet or 60 feet in the air at the top of the dome, and, like, on either side of the solar beam just begins to gradually pull it open. What's next?
Is this Fang making the acrobatics to fly through this hole?
If that's what it's time for.
I think so, because I think Fang will fly through, and then I make my survival check to not die.
Yep.
So, acrobatics. 18.
18. Let's go, Fang. Fane, as he's charging forward through the air, flapping his wings vigorously, right as he eclipses, like, just to the top of the dome where the hole is being formed, he tucks in his wings and becomes narrow like an arrow, and using all that momentum from launching off the ground to charge through the solar beam, through the hole that Metagross is opening, to try and get Cindy and the plate and Fane outside of the dome. 16 acrobatics. Great job, Fane. Maybe one or two left.
Well, Cindy's making her not die check. Survival, right?
Survival. So you're going to be subject to like a torrent of water right as Fane eclipses, like right at the top here. And I think survival is pretty appropriate for Cindy to not be either knocked off or not drown. So,
dirty 21.
Fantastic. Now,
I think that's all we had. That's all we had planned.
Okay. Very good. Right as Cindy, Fane, and the zap plate broach the temporary hole being created at the top of the Telekine Dome, thanks to the efforts of Soli and Metagross and even Maxi praying and Gimli giving a dad speech, right as Cindy's about to pass that threshold, that is where we will end. However, we're not quite done. Elodie. Spoilers for people not following Elodie's adventure. Are you ready, Elodie?
I am.
Okay. Elodie, you have been hurtling through space on the back of an enormous, sugary, creamy Alcremie who has been influenced by both the ambient power of the moon as well as the pixie plate for what you presume to be about 20 minutes soaring through silent space. The planet begins to fill your vision as you unsuccessfully direct Cabbage's trajectory towards Mos Deep City. Moving at incredible speeds, making the journey from the moon to the planet in only about 20 minutes, I need Elodie to make a con save.
You got it. 13.
Okay. Elodie's consciousness begins to fade out of her vision, and then right as this Alcremie shooting star missile breaches the atmosphere and things begin to get very hot and it begins to smell like a baking cake, Elodie comes back too. She almost passed out. Just the intensity of the experience and the trip and all of that, it was just becoming a lot for her brain, but she's present. As she breaches the atmosphere, sound begins to return. There's a roar coming from the front of this giant Alcremie towered cake that she is riding on the back of as decoration and icing and cream is being flung all over the sky. She can see the continent of Hoenn pretty clearly now. It is still nighttime, but over to the east, she can see the sun rising around the other corner of the world. She tries to steal Alcremie towards Mos Deep. She can see a calamitous thunderstorm all the way to the northeast of the continent, but that is unfortunately not where Cabbage is heading. As more and more cake is flung off from Cabbage's body, her size begins to decrease, and Elodie is hurtling towards the ground. She is finding herself moving towards the center of the Hoenn region continent in a forested kind of hilly wooden area, seems to be where she's about to crash land. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to want Cabbage to make an advantage dexterity save as she collides with the planet.
You've got this, Cabbage. Another 13.
Okay. Not ideal, but also not terrible. Cabbage will take 94 points of basically fall damage.
Holy moly.
As she creates a crater in a small little residential village. Cake explodes and is flung everywhere. And all these houses and small buildings that occupy this town that probably houses like maybe 40 people at most. Elodie is going to also get thrown off and hopefully land in some cake. She needs to make an advantage dex save as well.
That's a 9.
Okay. Elodie is going to launch off of Cabbage and she's going to tumble into the ground and she's going to take a whopping 140 points of fall
damage. I got knocked out.
She gets knocked out. She lands in some cake. And still gets, like, you know, she could easily be dead, and instead she hits her head on a bush, and she sees her vision slowly fading. She comes to, and she is in an unfamiliar bedroom. It is quaint, it is plain, and at the foot of the bed is Cabbage, just fully conked out, just completely out of it. There is a nightstand next to her that has a cup of tea, and it is still dark out as she comes to. What does she do?
Hello? Where am I?
You hear the sound of, like, someone stirring, like, in a different room, seemingly below you, and then you hear footsteps marching up the door. You hear a knock, and then the sound of perhaps a middle-aged woman says, "Can I come in?"
Yes.
The door opens, and you see a middle-aged woman, probably, like, in her 50s or 60s, with fair skin, brunette hair, and, like, really lovely blue, almost purple eyes. She looks very tired. And she has some really distinct, like, laugh and smile lines, like she's had a good, happy, joyous life. It seems that there's no one else in the house. She comes in and she says, "I don't know where you came from, but you took quite the spill, and the town is covered in cake. Are you okay?"
"Yes, I'm okay. Did you bring me here?"
She gives a nod, and she says, "Well, when you arrived, you woke the whole town up. Went to go check in on you, and you were unconscious, and I thought, well, I better take care of this myself. I scooped you and your Alcremie up and tucked you into this guest bedroom. No one's here right now, and just thought I'd hope to rehabilitate you. I didn't think you'd wake up until the morning. It's only been an hour and a half." She apologizes and she says, "I'm sorry, I didn't introduce myself. My name's Caroline, and you've arrived in Little Root Town."
Oh, wow. Okay. Thank you, Caroline. I'm Elodie. Is everybody else okay? The cake didn't, like, harm anybody else, did it?
Caroline lets out a laugh. And she says, "I don't know if anyone got hurt, but we certainly are looking at some remodeling for some of these houses as far as a new paint job. But that's besides the point. I'm just glad that you are somehow okay. It seems like you had quite the journey." And also, and she turns around to pull something out of a robe pocket. She says, "I found this next to your Alcremie." and she's holding a pink rectangle that you know to be the pixie plate.
Oh, I'm going to need that. Sorry. And I'll try and get up and take it from her.
She says, it's no problem at all. You're welcome to stay here as long as you like. I have a daughter, but she's a busy working woman, so she's not here right now. I'm just kind of by myself. And if you need some time to cool down after that, I understand. But also if you need to get going, I understand that as well.
Yeah, I think I'm going to need to get going. Do you know the fastest way to get to Moss Deep?
Caroline can't help but let out a little chuckle, and she says, well, Moss Deep's probably the other side of the country. It's kind of the middle of the night. There's no transit around. Do you have any flying Pokemon with you?
I do. I do have that.
She says, well, how fast?
I have an Altaria.
She says, oh, Altaria. Okay. Roll an insight, Elodie.
Natural one.
Nice. No vibe check coming from this woman. She says, well, if I had to guess based on your landing and that permanent dent that you've made in our little town, you might be in a bit of a hurry to get over there. Tell you what, my husband is a skilled trainer. I can loan you his Pidgeot. I think they're naturally quite a bit faster than Altaria. If that'll help you to get to where you're going, it seems like you're in a hurry.
That would be amazing. You've really done a lot for me here. I really appreciate it.
She says, oh, it's no problem. It's just nice to have a talented young woman in this bedroom again. It makes me happy. Here. And she hands you a Pokeball. That's a regular, ordinary-looking Pokeball, perhaps a little dusty, a little unloved. And she says, well, whenever you finish whatever mission that is so important that you're on, be sure to check back in on Little Root Town. We'd love to see you again.
Absolutely. Do I know, because Schmidt has a phone, right, for the court case?
Yes.
Do I know the number for it?
You do not, and it's like a one-way phone.
Okay. Yeah, oh, fair enough. Phone back as well.
Oh, okay. Never mind then. I was like, I'm give this woman my phone number. I feel bad that I'm like, this is the second time I've caused damage to a town. I'll come back. It's fine. I'll just remember. Yeah, I'll definitely come back. I'm so sorry to have caused you any trouble, but I really appreciate your help. And I'll be back for sure.
She says, very well. Well, I'll walk you to the door. And she will start walking you to the door if you accept.
Yes, I will. I will recall Cabbage as I go.
Okay. Yeah, Cabbage is still conked. Roll me a perception as you are navigated through this quaint house.
16.
Pretty good. It's evident that you are in a quaint family home, really kind of furnished to house at least a couple and a child, if not more. And you see there's some corners of it as you're walking through the hallways that seem just kind of like unutilized, unloved. You see photos on the walls of a small family. This woman, clearly, Caroline, a husband with a formal attire. He seems like he might be a professional in a field that involves some sort of physical activity, accompanied by some strange sloth-looking Pokemon. And there are also photos of a daughter, a young girl. You can see her get older throughout the years. There's a photo of a toddler that has brownish red hair, holding like a Mudkip and looking very excited to be interacting with it. This is not a shiny Mudkip, but this is in fact a Mudkip. You see her growing up and becoming like a more, throughout the photos on the walls, just like a more established looking trainer, more and more successful, surrounded by more powerful looking Pokemon. And then there's one photo that particularly catches your eye where there's a person of importance who you've met before named Stephen Stone, who's handing some sort of like award or certificate to her while she's dressed in a very formal gown on a stage surrounded by lots and lots and lots of people. And you can see that the girl that lived in this room seems to be a very important person, and surely her mother misses her dearly.
Your daughter, is she Champion May?
Caroline will turn to you and let out a smile as she continues guiding you. She says, oh, what gave you that idea?
Well, the picture's on the wall. I mean, previous champion, Stephen, giving her some sort of award.
Caroline nods and she says, you would be right. She hasn't been home in quite a while, but I understand that she's very busy. And she's currently on an important assignment looking out for her father.
Oh, okay. That's nice. Yeah, that's crazy. Serendipity. I'm actually the champion from Kalos's daughter.
Caroline will let out a surprised look, and she says, oh, which one, Serena?
Yes, Serena.
She says, oh, such a small world. I actually, not that I met your mom, but I ran into her at the champion coronation. That's such a surprise.
Small world indeed.
Roll one more insight.
Goodness, my rolls today. Not great. That's a 5.
Okay. There is something in the story that she told you about what May is currently up to. You detect just a twinge of worry and concern, but she doesn't feel like getting deeper into it. She will escort you through the living room. A quaint little living room. It's got a couch. It's got a nice TV, a dinner table that it seems that only one seat has been sat in quite some time. And she will guide you to the door. And she says, well, Elodie, it was a pleasure meeting you. And I wish you the best on your journey.
Thank you. Yeah, it was really nice to meet you, too. And hopefully I'll be back soon. And hopefully your daughter, May, will be back soon as well.
Caroline says, that would certainly be lovely. Have a good night. Find yourself with full HP, Elodie at least, and Cabbage. Oh, you know what? You had the mother's treatment, of course. You went to mom's house, you got fully healed, of course.
Let's go!
And you find yourself just in the center of a quaint residential town. There's hardly any businesses. There's a dozen or so homes, and then just woods. Seems like a really kind of sweet place to grow up, certainly. You also see, like, a pretty significant, maybe arrow-shaped crater where Cabbage impacted just right in the middle of town. There's, like, a deep skid and then, like, a big hole right in the middle, and then there's cake just freaking everywhere. One person is up outside their home, and they've got a shovel, and they're scooping cake, like, into a bag. They don't seem to notice you exit. What is your next course of action?
Yeah, I think priority is just getting back to the gang. Yeah, I really would have no frame of reference for anything that's been going on back on Homeworld. So yeah, I think I'm just gonna take out the Pidgeotto and fly off.
Okay, sure. You release this Pokemon. It is one that you are vaguely familiar with. They aren't in Kalos, but it's just such an iconic normal flying type Pokemon. You've seen them plenty. Beautiful mane on this Pidgeot, big broad wings. While Blueberry is charming and a lovely Pokemon, it certainly is not faster than this Pokemon. And it invites you to fly on its back, and you are welcome to direct it if that is what you'd like to do.
Yes, I will do that.
Okay. Pidgeot, with a leap, will start flapping its wings and will soar off into the sky, and Elodie will begin flying at incredible speeds back towards where she took off many hours earlier, over to Moss Deep City to reunite with the Quacko Paco. And that is where we will end the session. Hello, and thank you all so very much for listening to the latest episode of Dunsparce and Drampa. I'd like to give extra special thanks to our latest patron, Olaf. You can join now as a patron for free with a one-month trial and gain access to perks such as the post-show discussions for every group episode. There's never been a better time to use the free trial, as our wonderful editor, Kira, has been ahead of the editing schedule, and episodes are consistently being released a week early on Patreon. So if you haven't already used your free trial, now is the best time to do so on patreon.com/dunsparce. You can also find that link and all of our other links at linktree/dunsparce. linktr.ee/dunsparce. I'd like to thank all of our listeners for their continued support as we quickly approach the climax of our adventure in Hoenn. Thank you all for your kind words, fan art, and comments through our irreverent and thrilling journey. We'll catch you all for episode 105 on March 25th.